McGraw-Hill Ascent Audio presents Flip the Switch. Activate your drive to achieve a freakish level of success. By Coach Michael Burt. Narrated by Adam Verner. A message from Coach Burt. The day my life changed forever. It was a Saturday morning in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and I was sitting in a workshop taught by a Vietnam veteran whose name was Bob. His role in the war was to wake up every morning in the jungle with no lights and no friends, and just he and a dog would go out deep into that jungle to sniff out bombs, booby traps, and ambushes. Imagine what you would have to tell yourself in that situation. Imagine the mental and physical toughness you would need, and the instincts you would have to cultivate. Bob mentioned that the dog had a certain type of drive, called a prey drive. This term intrigued me, as I had never heard it before. Prey drive, I thought. What is that? I googled the term and found this meaning. The instinctive inclination of a carnivore to find, pursue, and capture prey. Wikipedia. As I thought about this concept, I realized that this definition articulated what I was activating in the people I was coaching, and what I had been doing my whole life. I believe humans to have a prey drive. Only it's not about killing prey. It's about pursuing a target or goal with a persistence and intensity until completion. From that day forward, my life would be focused on teaching people how to activate this drive so they could discharge the kinetic energy inside them toward some defining ambition. Over the years, my definition evolved. I now define the prey drive in humans as an instinctual ability to see something either with the eyes or in the mind, and have the persistence and intensity to pursue it through to its logical conclusion. The prey drive is necessary in all parts of your nature, body, mind, heart, and spirit. So, to become the person you envision yourself to be, I believe you have to activate both your potential and your prey drive physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. To initiate an activity, your physical drive must be activated. To care about something, your emotional drive must be activated. To be interested in something, your mental drive must be activated. To go deeper in your spirituality, your spiritual drive must be activated. Different people are activated in different ways based on their past scripting and the triggers that initiate something inside them to take an action. The range of triggers is endless and can be found in both negative and positive experiences. A lack of belief from others, or an affirmative belief from others. A put-down, or a compliment. A slight, or a high-five. A competition or a game to play and win. Whatever the trigger, it stimulates your drive to want to do more, become more, and create more. Activation happens when something external turns your want to up a notch and switches to a higher gear that helps you expand your mind and your actions. Despite our typical reactions, galvanizing stimuli are a good thing, not a bad thing, which is why you should be thankful for the things that happen in your life, even the negative ones. They don't happen to you, they happen for you. There have been 5 activators that I am most grateful to have happened for me. Fear. Because without it, I most likely wouldn't take the levels of action I need to win at the highest levels. Fear is our friend. The faster we figure this out, the better off we are going to be. Competition. Because without something in the future to pursue, I most likely would have stopped pushing so hard after winning championships as a basketball coach. Instead, I would have been resting on my laurels. Environment. Because those conferences, boot camps, and workshops I have attended, and the people with whom I have shared surroundings and experiences, have activated and reactivated my drive to reach my deepest human potential. A positive environment is a place where our talents can thrive because of the standards, language, accountability, and atmosphere. Just as we want to place our kids in environments where their talents can come alive, we should be doing the same thing for us as adults. So many environments suppress our talents or are toxic. The right environment could activate our prey drive to perform at a higher level due to the expectations, scenery, or structure. Embarrassment, because without it, the gap between where I am and where I am capable of going would cause me to contract and not expand. Embarrassment could be defined as a painful or emotional state that causes a change in one's behavior. I do not use embarrassment to shame people, but I do believe as a coach that sometimes in life people should be embarrassed by their lack of commitment, results, or outcomes, and this underperformance in relationship to their capacity should cause a change in their behavior. Sometimes hitting rock bottom or being super frustrated with where you are activates something deep inside you to come alive. It could take a breakdown to create a breakthrough, or the emotional energy is simply not there to force a change. Exposure. Because being close to and seeing something magical is inspiring, exposure brings to mind a leadership camp I was fortunate enough to attend at 15 years old, the Broyhill Leadership Academy. The academy exposed me to personal development and a bigger future. Without being exposed to a world filled with accomplished adults who wanted to share wisdom, I most likely wouldn't have the drive to impact others. Just as I am thankful these five things have influenced me, you too will learn to look to the external stimuli that will activate something inside you, to do something big in the world. Some stimuli might be the five I just mentioned, or a dream you can't let go of. The hope is through listening to this book, you will be able to look at the circumstances around you, for better or for worse, and learn to use them as tools, as learning moments, as muscle builders and motivators to activate the innate focus, stamina, and talents that will ensure you achieve freakish levels of success. My kids, my wife, my mother, my father, my mentors and coaches, and those who have always been a positive force have helped me get to a higher place. In their own ways, their encouragement, unconditional love, hard lessons, trust, and honesty have activated my prey drive. Throughout this book, we certainly talk about the people and the behaviors that will activate or threaten your prey drive, the drive that will inspire you to want more from life and to reach your deepest human potential. But we go further and deeper, uncovering many other external factors that will turn on your prey drive when you most need it. Introduction. My journey as a coach actually started by being coached on a local baseball field in the small town of Woodbury, Tennessee, when I was 6 years old. My coach, Mickey Vinson, affirmed and validated my worth and potential by saying to me, "Son, one of these days you're going to be a great coach." Her belief in me was what I needed at a critical time in my life. My mother had me when she was 16. She worked two jobs while attending nursing school and raising me on her own. She taught me, we don't whine, we don't complain, and we don't make excuses. After she dropped me off at baseball practice, I would stay at that field both fascinated and motivated by Coach Vinson. Coach Vinson activated something deep inside me and prompted me to stay the course and ultimately to pursue my own potential. I would go on to make her prediction of my becoming a coach come true. I grew up to be a coach and have helped thousands of others activate their potential, first as a high school girls' basketball coach, and then as a business and performance coach to some of the top people in the world. And it all started with that one external affirmation from that one coach when I was 6 years old. We never know what will activate a drive in us to pursue something greater, but we should learn to be open and inviting to it. I accepted a job as a high school women's basketball coach at Riverdale High School in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, when I was just 19 years old and going to college. Women's basketball was always big in our state, thanks to the accomplishments of the team at the University of Tennessee, led by the famous Pat Summitt, the women's team head coach. Coach Summitt won over 1,000 games as a head coach and 8 national championships, and she inspired many coaches to be their best and to play at the highest levels. I treated my program like it was the same as the University of Tennessee's. At that time, my life's path was to win a championship at a school that had never won one, and then proceed up the coaching ladder to become a similarly successful coach as Pat Summitt. I was obsessed with this dream, and it was really all I could think about for over a decade. I began as the coach of the freshman team, and by the age of 22, I had become the youngest head varsity basketball coach in the state of Tennessee, at the second largest high school in the state. With 30 girls a year to inspire and guide toward activating their greatness, I jumped in the deep end of leadership and psychology quickly. Although we spent hours and hours on skills and drills, it was in the locker room and on the hardwood where I really understood what the game was all about, activating a deep potential inside people that helped them come alive like never before. The game was just the vehicle to inner engineer people to compete at the highest levels and find their voice in life. I coached at this level until I was 31 years old. Throughout those 12 years, I worked and reworked the motivational strategies, honing the strategies that I use today that help people win at the highest levels in their own life. I tested and retested the concepts and got immediate feedback from the team on what worked and what didn't. We ultimately won 74% of the games I coached. It was there that I learned that to build teams, we had to build the team members individually, in their knowledge, their skills, their desire, and their confidence. It was there that I truly learned how to activate people's prey drive, an instinct inside them to pursue what they saw with their eyes or in their imagination. It was the ultimate learning laboratory with real-time feedback. One of the most interesting things that would happen when moms and dads would first drop their 14-year-old daughters off was what they would tell me. They all said a variation of the same thing, "Coach, my daughter has so much potential." They would then outline a list of things their daughter needed to realize that potential, including discipline, structure, accountability, confidence, focus, motivation, and a good coach. "Define potential," I'd reply. They would say, each in their own way, "the ability to do more and become more than what she currently is." I would respond and give them my definition of potential, which is a kinetic energy that is stored until activated and utilized. I would then ask the million-dollar question, "So you're telling me that your daughter has an unlimited potential?" "Yes," they'd say. "I have to ask you a tough question, and you're not going to like it, but I have to ask it." I would reply, readying them to look into a mirror, "Is your daughter watching you reach your potential?" It always got awfully quiet after that. The look on their faces made it seem like they lost a game of gotcha. Nervous laughter and smiles followed, and it wouldn't be until days later, after my seemingly harsh words had a chance to percolate, that I'd hear from the parents again. "You know, Coach," they'd say, "I can't stop thinking about what you said the other day about what I do to be an example to my daughter." It's possible you're listening to this book because it's time to get serious about flipping the switch in your life. Maybe you're like the parents of the kids I coached, or maybe you're tired of lying to yourself or others about what you are capable of doing and are ready to take an action toward your true potential. It's time we help you confront your real potential and get real about what you are capable of with your talents and abilities. Other books out there motivate, but this one activates. I have found there is a significant difference between motivation and activation. Motivation means to move. Activation means to initiate. I believe each day you have to initiate. You have to start. You begin your day with a certain set of actions. You make outbound efforts to grow your business in sales and revenue. You initiate ideas with strategic partners. You initiate follow-up or bring deals to a close. Nothing happens until something is started, and that start begins with you. This is why learning how to initiate is so critical daily to creating a future outcome. You imagine, and then you initiate. We can become motivated for a short period of time, but I believe motivation is fleeting. I like to call it cotton candy. It tastes good, but its sugar dissolves quickly. Think of initiation as the ability to kickstart something in your life, to overcome the inertia that has held you back from finding, packaging, and utilizing your talents to the highest degree. For many, They don't even know what they are truly capable of until their switch is flipped. This was something my wife, Natalie, experienced. From the age of 21 to 24, Natalie was a drug addict, many times using hardcore drugs almost daily, until one day, thankfully, she stopped, cold turkey. At 30, Natalie, who was not my wife at the time, found herself selling cell phones for a company similar to Verizon. Natalie lacked direction, clarity, and a vision for her bigger future. Although good at her job selling cell phones, this was not her true talent. Her company, seeing the potential in her, paid $50 for her to come to one of my workshops on my book, This Ain't No Practice Life. She sat in the back corner and scribbled notes feverishly. It was the first self-development workshop she had ever attended. After the workshop ended, Natalie found me and said, "Nobody has ever activated my interest in my own potential like that. I believe I have dreams and goals, but I'm not sure what to do with them or even what they are." I asked her some simple questions. One, what do you love doing? This is passion. Two, what are you good at doing? This is talent. Three, where is there a need you can fulfill with your talent? This is monetization. Four, what is your conscience telling you that you should be doing? That one conversation led to Natalie's simple answers. One, I love hospitality and design. Two, I'm great at taking care of people and making them feel comfortable. Three, I think I would like to start my own catering company. Four, I think I'm supposed to be doing that instead of what I'm currently doing. Natalie's prey drive to seek out and pursue was activated. We would go on to get married and have two beautiful children and an extraordinary life. My wife now handles all the design and redesign of our retreat properties around the country. She handles all the hospitality. She is even writing her own books. And we do couples retreats, working with as many as 20 couples at one time on alignment, vision, and talents. That day in that workshop set Natalie on a journey toward her calling, to activating her potential. The good news is, potential is not specific to an age. It's not relegated to the kids on the basketball court or those just starting out. I've coached 81-year-olds and 6-year-olds. Potential is in all of us, but it lies dormant. Like a light switch, potential doesn't turn itself on. You need to flip it. Once that electricity runs through the joint, that's when real growth can happen. My message and my coaching success run contrary to much of the popular theories out there on the subject of success. Many focus on people's skills, believing this is enough. If I just teach them more sales skills, then this will solve their problems. From my view, this is fragmented. If we can agree that people have multiple parts to their nature, multiple intelligences, then each of those intelligences must be activated. For example, only teaching basketball skills like dribbling, passing, or rebounding will do nothing if players don't know the strategy to use to apply the skills, nor possess the confidence and drive to implement the strategy to show off their skills. Until you activate the prey drive in a person, teaching skills is futile, because the person doesn't have the desire to move toward a target. This is why I start first with the prey drive, and then move to the person's other intelligences. The greats learn to constantly look for the things that activate and reactivate their prey drive to help them play in a heightened state. What activates them can be anything from studying, watching interviews and videos, or going to events and seminars. Whatever captures their interest. They might even be personally coached by the people who have a skill or talent they become interested in. The greats are interested in reaching their deepest human potential, which is where you have to start. If you are not interested in finding another gear, self-actualizing your potential, or getting to a new level, then you won't be interested in understanding what activates the gear in you. Discovering what activates the gear in you takes introspection, awareness, and trial and error. Some people come up with an imaginary slight to activate them. This is where something didn't actually happen, but you created it in your mind. You can see this in action in the documentary about Michael Jordan, The Last Dance. The documentary shows Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all times, constantly looking for anything that would activate his drive. If he perceived a rejection or challenge from others, whether he imagined it or it was real, he immediately went to a higher playing field. You have to find that which activates your drive to expand. Personally, finding my back is against the wall or feeling rejected, slighted, or overlooked is when I thrive. On the other hand, some imagine a future state and an inspired place. The perfect example is Jim Carrey. When he was broke and struggling to make it as an actor, he went to the top of Hollywood Hills and wrote himself a check in the amount of $20 million for his first imaginary film. Needless to say, he hadn't been paid $20 million yet. But in time, he got to live his dream. Some people are so motivated to avoid the embarrassment of failure, they compensate with practice to ensure they deliver on the promise. Some people look to replicate what they see the best do, then they try to one-up them to achieve a freakish level of success. Even Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk seem to be in a back-and-forth competition to see who can become the wealthiest person alive, or explore outer space before the other. I actually practice what psychologists call mental subtraction. This is where you pretend to lose something you love. The thought activates your drive to work hard enough or take enough action not to have to lose it. Statistics show that almost 70% of Americans are disengaged from their work. Maybe you are one of them. Stats also show that almost 87% of people will live their entire lives and never find their purpose and talent. They show up every day with little to no passion or ambition toward a defining ambition. They are lost and confused and spend days in a state of randomness and motion. Almost 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, indicating they have not figured out how to monetize the talents that they possess. Most just make it through the day and through the week with little or no hope of a bigger future. They never even get interested in their potential until something comes along in their lives and awakens them to that latent and undeveloped desire deep within them, like what happened to Natalie. I call this awakening alerting, and I have made it my job as a coach to alert people to what can be. My hope is that this book will give you hope, that it will alert you to your talents and awaken the spirit of pursuit in you to move toward your aspirations. Consider me a hope dealer or an aspirations enabler. A cautionary tale. I've had breakthroughs and breakdowns that have shaped my convictions on the subject of human potential. The most eye-opening breakthrough came after I gave eulogies at two funerals. I hadn't known either one of them, nor did I know their families. So to inform my speaking about their loved ones, I asked the family members beforehand one important question. What big dreams did your loved one pursue in his life? I was stunned when I heard the same thing in response. Coach, he didn't pursue any dreams, and he really didn't impact many people. He was just a good person. I guess he lived a good life. This statement had a significant impact on my life and forced me to get serious about helping others drive their potential and live an extraordinary life. He was just a good person. He lived a good life, was the general sentiment of both people. I believe good is the true enemy of great. You don't want to live on planet Earth and only live a good life. You want to live an extraordinary life, one in which at its end reveals how many people you have helped. You want to have lived so robustly, so uniquely, so impactfully, that you'd struggle to pick your top three successes at the end of your life. That will never happen if your drive is not activated to its fullest. Speaking at the funerals initiated my pray drive, and the instinct both to grow into my potential and to impact others. It impelled me to ask myself some hard questions about regret if I didn't activate and take action. If the recipe for regret is to just be good, what are the ingredients for a great life? What do you do to activate and take action so you can be great? In preparation for writing this book, I studied some of the top people in the world who have achieved a freakish level of success. What I mean by freakish is beyond ordinary, fascinating, and impactful on a grander scale. These people inspire us to expand versus contract, to live lives of impact versus retreat, to truly work the potential they had been given. One such person who has created a framework I think is effective is Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos. Bezos had a good job making good money at D.E. Shaw & Company, L.P., a global development and technology firm. In the eyes of many, Bezos had made it, and there was no reason for him to pursue a bigger future. Certainly, Bezos was wealthy by working at D.E. Shaw. But when Bezos came upon a piece of research that indicated the internet was growing at 2,300%, he had an instinct that he could use this information to develop a business, and even deeper was the instinct to pursue that instinct. He had a tough decision to make. Would he stay in comfort with a good life, a good living, and a good position, or would he go for it? Would he leave the good life to pursue an extraordinary life? To answer this tough question that many struggle with, he created a formula and framework called the Regret Minimization Framework, a formula I learned about while watching interviews of Bezos talk about his rise to the top with Amazon. This framework asked one simple, powerful question. If I were sitting here at 80 years old, would I regret not pursuing this dream? His answer was yes. So he packed up his car and drove from the East Coast to Seattle to start Amazon, an online retail bookstore where you could get any book you wanted, whether it was in the bookstore or not. To make Amazon go, he went out and secured investors to start the company. He asked 50 people to invest $20,000, so he could start with $1 million. 22 invested. As he grew, he continued to take on investor money, giving up more and more of his own equity. With just 16% of ownership of Amazon, Bezos would go on to become the wealthiest person in the United States. Amazon would go on to employ over 1 million people, innovate and create Alexa, change the way you order and receive what you need in the time you need it, and become the everything store to millions and millions of Americans. Bezos has even taken people into space with his project Blue Origin. The prey drive is an instinct to see something in the mind or with the eyes and have the persistence and intensity to pursue it. Let's discuss how Bezos used the prey drive in these key areas. 1. Activation. He saw something with the eyes, the statistic that said the internet was growing rapidly at 2,300%. How many other people saw that, but didn't associate it with the opportunity to sell books online? 2. Persistence. Bezos raised $1 million from 22 people to start the company. Many passed on the idea, and Amazon didn't show a profit for almost a decade, taking all the money it made and pouring it back into the customer obsession that makes Amazon incredible. 3. Intensity. Bezos picks a target and attacks it with an innovation, such as Alexa. He scours the world to find the most talented engineers who can build what he envisions until the product is completed and delivered to the world. I imagine that right now, you have a pretty good life, but is it the life you were destined to live, doing what you love that is both highly enjoyable and highly profitable? Are you helping the people you are supposed to help? Imagine distributing your talent to millions of people and doing well financially by doing great things for others. Imagine closing the gap between the life you hope for and the life you have. Imagine your internal talents coming alive and using those talents to impact people around the world. Imagine you're being on the stage, playing in the game, hitting the sales target, achieving some freakish level of success. Mind the gap, then close it. Calling on her unique experiences of caring for people in the last 12 weeks of a person's life in hospice, Bronnie Ware wrote the book The Five Regrets of the Dying, a life transformed by the dearly departing. She found that men and women had similar regrets.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?